Reading comes from Matthew 1, 18 to 21, and can be found on page 955 of your Pew Bible. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Today's second scripture reading comes from Romans 5, 9 to 11, and can be found on 1116 of your Pew Bible. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
As we were getting ready for the stuff of the Advent season, Louise sent me a couple suggestions for the bulletin cover and for the slide for the sermon series. She sent me this slide, and I liked it. The first one she sent me was in color. This slide comes close to probably what happened, and I'll talk more about that next week when I talk about Bethlehem. But the first one was in color. It was very colorful, very beautiful. And the Advent season and Christmas is all about light and Jesus coming as the light of the world. And whether the world knows it or not, it celebrates his coming by decorations and colors and great stuff. By the way, I have put up our outside Christmas light already. Yeah. Our four-year-old grandson was not particularly impressed. I brought him home, it was dark, and the lights were on. He says, "Grandpa, you need more lights." And he had in mind the lights that go along the edge of the roof. I told him, "Grandpa's not doing that, okay? It might be the last thing he ever does." But I did go out to the workshop and found, this is a four-year-old that's telling me this. Anyway, I went out, got more lights, so we are well decorated at our house. Soon we'll have a Christmas tree, all that stuff. Lots of color. It's a good thing. But when I looked at the first slide that Louise sent me in color, it doesn't fit with what I want to say, especially this morning. So she also sent me a black and white slide, which is the one we're using today. Because in this first Sunday of Advent, in which we're going to look at Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of the crucifixion, I wanted us to be thinking more in terms of the black and white of the Christmas season. A more slightly solemn, well, that's not the right word, slightly more serious side to the coming of Jesus Christ. If I could, I would have made this slide over again, and I would have had a shadow on it, the shadow of a cross, not to lessen the joy of the coming of Jesus, not to put a damper on the celebration, but to remind us that there's something else going on. It's not just the wonderful story of the birth of a baby. the birth of the Messiah. It's not just about Mary and Joseph and the coming of their first child. There's something else going on. Something deeper, not darker, but deeper. It's as if in this scene, we're singing Joy to the World. But somehow we also hear in the background some deeper, more profound melody. And we can just barely hear it, but we know it's there. Here, in the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, we have great celebration, but we also have something serious, deep, triumphant, but painful. It's there. It's waiting. It's part of the story. Part of the story of the coming of Jesus Christ at Bethlehem is its connection to Golgotha. There is a straight line between this scene and the scene at the cross. In a short while, we'll sing a hymn that speaks to that very point. Christmas has its cradle, and Easter has its cross. This morning we celebrate communion, and as we do so, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, even as in our worship we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, Golgotha. It is a place that is just outside of the walls of Jerusalem. It is where criminals of the highest order are executed. It is a place of shame and pain and awful, awfulness. And it's part of this story. The reason Golgotha happens is because God intended it to happen. And Jesus knew that was his purpose. I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus knew why he had come. He says that more than once to his disciples. That's why I've come. In the Old Testament, Isaiah says that he would be led like a sheep to the slaughter. Jesus said, I must suffer many things, be rejected, but I will rise again. I came to seek and to save the lost. That's what Golgotha is about. And that's what this is about. And this is what it's about as well as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It is instructive, informative, a good reminder that in the elements, in the midst of the elements this morning, is the Advent wreath. We will combine these two celebrations, these two meanings, because that's what the whole story is about. It's about the coming of Jesus Christ, and it's about his sacrifice for us. As we celebrate this morning, and as we celebrate Advent and Christmas all together in this month, may it be that we will do so with the understanding that there are profound things involved. If you need a reminder of that, I ask you to look at the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, again. And look at the role that Herod plays. You remember? The Magi's come. The wise men come. They're looking for the Savior they say has been predicted, and they follow the stars. They come. They ask Herod, where is the Savior, the King of the Jews? Where has he been born? Herod is a little bit panic-stricken. He tells them, his scholars tell him, it's in Bethlehem. And the wise men go. They're warned to go a different way. They do not come back and report to Herod as he asks them to about where the king is. And as a result, what happens is the slaughter, what's described in the church calendar, the slaughter of the innocents. in this bizarre way, Herod understood. There's more going on here than meets the eye. We now know that in the birth of Jesus Christ, there's more going on than meets the eye. Christmas has its cradle. Easter has its cross. We recognize that this morning. I want to close with you with a quote. It comes from 1626. It's an opening part of John Donne's Christmas sermon. John Donne, lived in the 1600s, a poet, a great poet, great preacher. This is what he said. The whole life of Christ was a continual passion. Others die as martyrs, but Christ was born a martyr. His birth and his death were but one continual act. His Christmas Day and his Good Friday are but the evening and the morning of one and the same day. Let me read the last part again. His birth and his death were but one continual act, and his Christmas Day and his Good Friday are but the evening and the morning of one and the same day. So we remember now in the celebration of communion. Let's pray. Father, we are sincerely thankful for the coming of the light. We are sincerely thankful that in this season we can celebrate with light the coming of the Savior. That in this season we can celebrate with joy and expectation. But as we celebrate, Father, remind us of the depth of the celebration. That this celebration is not only the birth of a baby, it is the coming of the Savior. It's not just about the cradle, it's also about the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.